Good morning. I want to welcome you to Selma Christ and New Burlington United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I'm so glad that you have joined us in worship this morning. Today we continue to meet in our homes or maybe other places with our families, and we just give God thanks, knowing that He is present with us as we gather in His name. One of the things that I've really been missing over these last few weeks is singing together. And don't worry, I'm not going to break out in song or anything like that. I want you to stay online with me this morning. But I do want to share with you a few words from an old hymn as a way of helping us to prepare for worship this day. And who knows, you might even want to sing the refrain as you hear these words from this beautiful old hymn. It goes like this. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Beautiful words for us this morning as we think about what it is to be God's people, and as we come together turning our hearts and our lives and our very self to the presence of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank You for this day that You have given us to worship and to celebrate Your good news. We turn our hearts and our lives and our eyes to You this day, trusting in You in every way. Father, You just continue to guide us and help us along, and we give You praise and thanks for Your love and for Your mercy, for Your peace and Your presence in our lives. Lord, we pray for one another in our community, and we pray for each person, each life at home that is participating here in this service. God, we would ask that You would meet each one of us where we are and the needs that we have to trust You and to walk with You and to know that You are God and to know that we are not alone and that our hope is in You. Lord, we again just thank You for this time to share together. We would ask that You would meet those who are suffering and those who are hurting this day, those who are anxious about today and tomorrow. Might You quiet their fears, quiet their hearts, bring peace in Your presence to those who need that special touch from You, especially be with those, Lord, who are in the hospital, and those who are preparing for procedures, and we ask that Your hand would guide in every way. Just continue to be present to us and help each one of us as we walk in the way in which You call us to follow You. For this we pray, and this we give You all thanks, in Your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we saw how Peter and John stood firm in their faith after the healing of the crippled man. Jesus was their solid foundation as they stood up to the high council's opposition. They spoke out and they proclaimed their understanding of faith in light of their walk with God. They just could not help themselves but to tell about the Jesus they knew. And today I want us to look at this next chapter, chapter 5 of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 26 and ending with verse 42. If you have your Bibles with you there in your homes, you might want to open to that passage. Acts chapter 5, verses 26 through 42. It's lengthy, but one that I think it's important that we share together. Now, this text follows last week's story, the healing of the crippled man. It follows the sharing of possessions of those early Christians and the healing of many who were sick and suffering. And of course, during all of this, the disciples did not keep quiet about from where their strength and power came. which is from Jesus, the risen Christ. And now here they are in this fifth chapter of the book of Acts, back again standing before the high council in hot water because they refused to keep quiet about their faith. And because of this, it becomes apparent that they're going to lose their lives, that the high council is going to put them to death. It seems like an impossible situation. But with God, anything is possible. All things are possible. Hear now the word of our Lord from the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning with verse 26. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. "Didn't we tell you never again to teach in this man's name?" he demanded. "Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, and you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him." When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. And then he said to his colleagues, "Men of Israel, take care what you're planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow Theudas who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all his followers were scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God." The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to preach and to teach this message that Jesus is the Messiah. This is God's word for you, God's people. Well, anything is possible with God. Isn't that great news? Anything's possible with God. All things are possible with God. And whenever we face those impossible times in our life, stand strong. Stand strong. You're not alone. God knows exactly what you're going through. He is with you always, as he said, to the very end of the age. Oh, many of us, if not all, have faced those times in life that seem impossible. And you might even be facing one of those times right now. And if so, stand strong. You're not alone. Jesus is your firm foundation. They're to hold you and keep you from sinking, just as he did for Peter and for John. And just as that new Christian community was there to support and to care for one another, and in John and Peter's day, we as the church are here for you and here for one another. That's what it is to be the church, isn't it? So today, if you're in a season of life where you're facing a situation that seems impossible or an obstacle that seems insurmountable, I want you to know that God is with you. His grace is enough for you. And He has a good plan for your life and for your future that no one or nothing can stop. And so hold on to that. If God is for us, then who can stand against us? And we see this truth in the people and the events lived out in those in the early church. In the midst of impossibility and persecution, the apostles of the early church continued to hold on to their faith, and they remained obedient in declaring the gospel. They faced impossible opposition from the religious and the political leaders of their time. Many were thrown in jail on multiple occasions, and some were even martyred for their faith. Yet through the power of the Holy Spirit, those early Christians experienced boldness. They declared truth, and they received empowerment through God's grace. They weren't focusing on their present circumstances full of discouragement and questions and impossibility. Their focus was on God, knowing full well that God was with them, that His grace was enough for them, and that He had a good plan for their life and their future that no one and that nothing could stop. And as a result, men and women were saved and healed, and they witnessed many miracles. The mission of spreading the gospel to all the earth was unstoppable because it was part of God's salvation story that has been written and continues to be written. Like those early Christians, oh, don't give in to your fears and what ifs, but stand strong when those impossible times come, because God calls us to do the impossible. God calls you and I to overcome the impossible. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, God knows that fear will not get us through danger, but love does, and a sound mind will, and courage can. Courage, after all, is not the absence of fear, it's the will to persevere out of obedience, even in the midst of opposition. The Apostle Peter was a fisherman by trade. His story is one of overcoming fear and living out the impossible. You might remember the conversation that he had with Jesus at the Last Supper, when Jesus told all the disciples that he was to be crucified. But Peter replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. And sure enough, when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied him three times, fearful of what would happen if people knew that he was a follower of Jesus. Oh, but when Peter encountered the Holy Spirit, everything changed. Peter was no longer afraid, and he openly shared the gospel, even when he was met with resistance from the religious rulers and the high priest. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Peter and the other apostles could not stop talking about what they had come to know as truth, even at the cost of being thrown into jail and flogged or even killed. They were compelled by the revelation that they had received through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They saw it. They heard it. They knew it to be true. They had witnessed a miracle and could not keep quiet about it. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He leads us into experiencing all truth. He leads us to all understanding so that we can know who we are and what is ours. The word truth refers to the authenticity, the divine reality and revelation. Just as Peter and the apostles knew the truth and were empowered to walk in obedience, so we too can choose to be led by the Spirit of Christ, having the assurance of grace to face every challenge and every impossible situation. So stand strong. Stand strong when those impossible times come to you, because God calls us to do the impossible, to overcome the impossible with His truth. Secondly, God empowers us to be unstoppable. The more resistance and threats and violence that Peter and the apostles came up against, the more unstoppable they became. In my own life, I found this to be so very true, that God will often bring us through difficult circumstances that are impossible in our own strength, so that we can learn to completely rely on Him. When we remember it's about God's strength and not our own, we are more willing to trust in Him and to allow Him to use us for His purpose. Listen, it was a real shocker for my high school buddies to learn that I was actually considering going into ministry as a pastor. And it was a shock for many in my family, too. I first started to sense my call when I was probably 17, 18 years old. Of course, I didn't answer my call and dive all the way in until I was like 25 years old. And you know why? You know why? Because it was just too impossible. I didn't have the grades for college. I knew that, let alone graduate school. I just played around whenever I was in high school. And then financially, how could I possibly pay for something like that? You know, Susan and I were married right out of high school. Our son came a year later. We struggled just to pay our bills and put food on the table. And some of you know all too well about that. Again, it just seemed impossible for me to be able to answer that call of God upon my life. But you know, God does not want us to live with impossibility, beaten down and afraid to step out in faith. I am convinced God wants His people to stand strong in Him and to truly trust that God is for us, that He is with us, that His grace is enough, and that He has a good plan for our life and for our future, and that no one or nothing can stop. And I'm here today as a testament to that truth. It's amazing for me to look back and especially on those early years and see how God empowered me with His grace to do things that that I would never have been able to do on my own. I learned so much during this time in my life. And God has showed me time and time again that He would carry me through, that He would take my weakness, my inadequacy, my impossible situation, and He would make the way. Oh, and when you experience such a gift like that in life, you really do become unstoppable. But not because of you, but because of what the Lord has done in you. Because in strength is because His strength is made perfect in weakness, and His grace is sufficient for me. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us, because His strength is made perfect in weakness, His grace is sufficient for me. And I found that to be so true. Truly, God empowers us to be unstoppable. Following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter and the apostles responded to the call of God and began to boldly teach the people of Jerusalem about what they had seen and heard. Their words and actions enraged the city's leaders, and the leaders threatened to kill the apostles. There was a Pharisee named Gamaliel who advocated on their behalf, persuading the high priest to let them live. Gamaliel was a member of the Sanhedrin, the high council of Jews in Jerusalem, and he held one of the highest positions of influence. And he used his position of authority and wisdom from God to advise the men of Israel to leave Peter and the apostles alone. He recognized that if God was orchestrating the spreading of the gospel through Peter and the apostles, oh, there was nothing that could be done to stop this move of God. He said, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, oh, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. And as a result of Gamaliel's speech, the apostles, they were not killed, but they were flogged and ordered not to speak the name of Jesus. But instead of seeing the flogging and the threats as a situation of pain, all the apostles rejoiced because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Oh, they chose to set their focus on God, seeing the greater picture of what He was doing on earth. They could have complained. They could have grown angry or become bitter at the situation, but instead, they viewed persecution for their faith as a privilege. And as a result of their obedience and boldness, the gospel continued to spread. Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says, "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." Oh, God empowers us to be unstoppable, and God calls us to do the impossible. And lastly, God will never fail you. Oh, hear that. God will never fail you. Even when you feel all is lost or things haven't worked out the way that you have wanted, God will never fail you. Even when God does not do what you want God to do, it does not mean that God has failed you. Hold on to that truth, that God is for you, that He is with you, that His grace is enough. Even when it doesn't make sense to you, trust that He has a good plan for your life and your future, and that no one and nothing can stop. Oh, in the next chapter of Acts, we're gonna learn about a man named Stephen, a man who fully trusted that God would never fail him. Even in death, he saw the never-failing hand of God upon him. Stephen is described in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, as a man full of God's grace and power. And he performed many miracles among the people. The wisdom the Holy Spirit gave to him could not be argued against, and he boldly declared the truth of the gospel. Oh, but when the members of the Sanhedrin heard him preaching, they were furious. They rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city and they stoned him to death. And Stephen became the first martyr for the gospel. Acts 7 tells us that Stephen looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. Oh, he went on to pray, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Stephen knew God had not failed him. On the contrary, he was still trusting in the truth of God and holding firm to his faith. Listen, you know, you and I have the message of life and hope to share with our world, especially to those who feel that life is just impossible because of overwhelming circumstances. Our community has people in it that feel so lonely, so isolated. People who've just lost hope. Families just trying to put food on the table. Single parents trying to raise their kids. People fighting sickness and disease. People who are trying to make it through this pandemic and have no source of income. People grieving from the loss of loved ones. Families disintegrating. Oh, you know, it's easy to become overwhelmed by all this brokenness. Yet, there's always been brokenness. For we live in a fallen world, and only now we see more people experiencing it globally. And it's also easy to make excuses when we feel overwhelmed. It's so easy to not do what we know what we're called to do because of the challenges that come with the journey. But I believe this is I truly believe this is the greatest hour for the Church of Jesus Christ. We're born, I believe, for this moment to bring light and life and hope to a lost and broken world. Now is the time that I believe the Church, that you and I are to stand strong. Now is the time of immense potential. And why? Because we serve a restoring and redeeming God. A God of hope, a God of second chances, a God of new beginnings. While the world is wondering if there is hope, oh, we are the ones with the answer to that question. Yes, it is Jesus. Oh, through a relationship with Him, we have hope living on the inside of us. Oh, through the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And all things do work together for good because we are called by God to play our part in His salvation story. Oh, listen, my prayer for you is that you know God is with you, that He has a good plan for your life and for your future, that you would come to fully know His will and His purpose and His destiny over you, to know that is truly unstoppable. And may we be like Stephen, full of God's grace and power, living lives empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the impossible, to be unstoppable, and to know that God's love never fails. Let's pray. Loving and holy God, we give you thanks for your grace for us, for the presence of your Holy Spirit that moves and leads us in life. Help us, Lord, to stand strong in the life that we live, to trust you in all ways and to walk with you and to know that all things are possible. With you, Jesus, everything is possible. And so, God, encourage us and move us along in our faith and help us to be truly your hands and feet to our world, to truly be your church today. For we know that the world needs to see and to experience and to feel your touch through the lives of your people. Help us to do that. Help us to be that, Jesus. For we ask you in the name of your Savior and our friend, Jesus. Amen. Go now in the power and the presence of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience his peace. Amen.